Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome, everyone. This is Bonnie Gressel, your host here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. Today, my guest is Angus Nelson, and I'm so excited to have him here. I'm going to introduce Angus in just a moment. But first, I want to take a moment to thank all of you for taking time out of your very busy day to share with us here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. You know, I think being a holistic entrepreneur is like being a conscious entrepreneur. You know, you want to make a difference in the world. You come from that heart-centered place. You want to leave your impact. And maybe that's you, and that's why you've decided to join us on the show today. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. It's going to be another great show today. I know that you're really going to like this one. And I want to give a special shout out to my listeners in China this week. I just am so excited and honored that this show spans the globe and reaches people everywhere. I love sharing fabulous guests with you with great information for your entrepreneur journey. Now, remember that you can find all the links to wherever this show is, all the other podcast platforms and directories, basically on my website. All the links are there for you. I mean, you can certainly go to your favorite listening place, but if you want them all in one place to know where they're at, just go to BonnieGressel.com and it will take you to all of those places. And I always have a free gift for you on the show page as well. And if you go to the guest gift page on BonnieGressel.com, you can access gifts from all of the guests that I've had on this show. And there's a bunch of them in there now. So you can always go there and check those out that resonate with you. And there's a ton of valuable, great information. Now, perhaps you have a message to share or you'd like to hear from someone. Feel free to reach out to me if you are interested in being a guest on this show. I always love to hear from people. And of course, if you have questions, I'm open to that as well. I always have an open door policy. So without further ado, allow me to introduce our guest for today. I am so excited to have Angus Nelson here with us at The Holistic Entrepreneur. Angus Nelson works with executives of the world's largest companies as a speaker, coach, and facilitator. He's spoken at corporate headquarters for Walmart, Whole Foods, Coke, BMW, and many others. He hosts the top 20 business podcast called Up in Your Business and has been featured on AOL.com, Huffington Post, and VentureBeat. His book is called Love's Compass: How Do You Recover After a Lost Relationship? Join me in welcoming Angus Nelson to the show today.
Well, it is great to be here, Bonnie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I always love talking with you because I learn so much. And I read a little bit about people in their bio, obviously, but there's always more to the story. Would you share with us a little bit more about your journey and what brings you to the work that you do today?
Sure. So I took a very alternative trek in my career path. I started off with a degree in youth ministry and then got into the nonprofit world. In my late 20s, I wrapped my identity into a company I had started and did it for the wrong reasons in the context that I made some bad business decisions. And as such, the pressure that started to mount, in addition, 9/11 kicked in. Our funding was tightening, and the mistakes that we had made were impacting our financial position with the company. We were getting in deeper and deeper in debt, and I started coping, and it started off with pornography and then an addiction with alcohol, and then I also got involved in then exploiting my sexuality, in which case I was cheating on my wife, and I blew up my entire life. I destroyed the company in just bad decisions, but furthermore, I destroyed my marriage, which was the most impactful, which then impacted my emotion. That took away my vision, my drive, my passion for life. It took me about 3 years to realize that I was not the result of my actions and that I was not going to be a victim of the things that I had done, both to myself and to those that I had harmed around me. And it was a very difficult season, but that opened my eyes to see that there was more to life than just me. And flash forward, I went and sat under an individual that had done some teachings, part spiritual, part emotional and psychological, and gave a very holistic approach to healing and wholeness. And that set me on the right track, in which I met my wife, and whom I'm married to today. And I got involved in another nonprofit, did that successfully until 2008, 2009. The economy changed again, and we closed that nonprofit. But that actually ended up being a great thing, because it opened me up to coming home with our newborn. And 14 months later, we had a second child. And so now I was stay-at-home dad with my kids, and my wife had challenged me to finish a book about that dark time. And so I wrote Love's Compass. I ended up having to self-publish it because the publishing world wasn't accepting any new authors. I wasn't famous enough. I didn't have the platform, et cetera, et cetera. That was the best thing, because I got into social marketing. Social business marketing led me to meeting some of the top corporate marketers in the country, because they too had children and they wanted to tell their stories. So they started dad blogging. So here I was hanging out with dad bloggers who also worked in corporate. And I found myself at South by Southwest for some daddy blogging event at the same time that South by Southwest Interactive was there. So all the tech who's who were there. Well, one of those was my identical twin brother. He was the former director of social media for a big company called Salesforce. And he had the big expense account. I said, bro, I am staying with you downtown. So during the day, I was with daddy bloggers. In the evening, I was with all of these tech people at all the parties. It was full of lots of glitz and glamour. And my, like I said, identical twin brother would throw me in front of all these other influencers and ask me to pretend to be him. 5 minutes later, he'd walk up behind them, tap them on the shoulder. They'd see there were two of us and they would freak out. This opened up so many doors of relationship. It was hilarious. I met like all the top corporate marketing gurus and all the thought leaders, et cetera. And a year later, one of them was starting a company, and I asked him if he needed some help, and he gave me a shot. So for the last 3 years, I've been working with corporate America, Fortune 1000 brands, as head of member success. We had over 74 companies, all names that you would know, and I helped them navigate the future of innovation. Everything from the sharing economy all the way up into autonomous vehicles, AI, cognitive, blockchain, or as most people know, Bitcoin. And then all of that led me into just this fall starting a new company with four other members of our partnership. We call it the Brain Trust Partners. It's the former head of social from GM and IBM. I also work with the former head of PR and comms for Ford Motor Companies, the head of customer service from Comcast and Citibank, and then lastly, the former VP of marketing for Signal Labs. And so between the five of us, we give a very holistic approach, to use that term again, to marketing, connecting with their customers and digital transformation, and following the trends of where business is going and getting our clients in front of that. How is that for a great
backstory? Oh my gosh, what a story. I love your story. And I think the thing that moves me most about that story is that it doesn't matter what horrible situation people are in, they can rise above and not just survive, but thrive. And that's what you're doing. And one thing leads to another and all the synchronicities. And I always say that there are no accidents. Mm-hmm. So I thank you so much for sharing that story.
And, you know, one of the reasons why I share that, and some people, you know, find it super vulnerable, super transparent, and I've learned to own that. Yeah. From the context of learning, that the secrets have no power. If you bring things into light, they lose their power. Mm-hmm. So if I own my stuff, I'm empowered. Mm-hmm. And number two is that through self-awareness, which is an element of emotional intelligence, those arenas, I would not have the same power and context had I not gone through those Dark Times. I now know what it's like to have empathy and compassion for people who are not in a place they want to be. It helps me to be a better coach. It helps me be a better leader. And it helps me to be someone that people feel safe around, because I'm not trying to peacock and show off and say how great I am. Instead, I approach people with a quiet confidence that helps them to feel safe and to be heard. And that is a powerful leadership element that I try to make contagious.
And that is so true, because, you know, well, for one thing, the vulnerability piece is you're showing that you're human, and it makes people feel better about them and know that they can. Mm-hmm. You know, that belief, that hope that maybe some people who are on the entrepreneur journey or whatever journey they're on have kind of maybe lost that bit of hope, and you provide that even just in sharing your story and the fact that, well, you did it, so right? I can do it too. So that's awesome.
You know, here's the thing is mindset is everything.
Yeah.
When I think back about Dark Times, your mindset in a negative structure is so debilitating. Mm-hmm. I heard this illustration just recently where someone was sitting in a rocking chair and they're rocking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And they said, this is worry. Mm. It's a whole lot of activity with no future movement and progress. It's not taking you anywhere. And we spend a lot of time worrying about the things around us. And if I can unpack that a little, you know, most of our lives, we worry about one of two things. We worry about the past or we worry about the future. In the past, it's either something positive or negative. We're comparing our current reality to either the negative things of our life, where, like myself, I could say I'm a victim of, you know, fill in the blank. Maybe it's something that you did to someone else. Maybe it's something that was done to you. Or maybe it, worse yet, like myself, it was something you did to yourself. Those are things that hold you back. These negative things that we label ourselves with, identify ourselves with, and anchor ourselves to say we can never be happy because of X. Or it's something really awesome and powerful and great. Maybe we had early success in our life somewhere, and we can say, wow, back then that was the glory days, right? That was the creme de la creme. If I could just get back to that, then I can be happy. Both of those two things are elements you cannot impact, mm-hmm. cannot affect, cannot have any power over doing anything for you today. They keep you from the things that you want. The future focus, which is the secondary part of this, is we're looking at when I get X, I should probably use a different one because we already use X. When I get Y, a different quotient there, then I'll be happy. And fill in Y with, you know, that spouse or that partner, that's that job, it's that income, it's that house, it's that car, it's that corner office, it's that title, it's that degree. When I get that, then I'll be happy. And the problem is, it's like a hamster on a hamster wheel. You're running, 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 and getting nowhere, because once you get this, you're going to see that. And then there's another this, and then there's another that. And you're never going to be happy because you're always pursuing something that you think is going to make you feel fulfilled and make you feel successful, whatever mm-hmm. quote-unquote successful is. So in either of those two contexts, in that mindset, you're limited versus learning how to be present in today.
Yeah.
In the present is this acronym today, the only day actually yours. Today, I can do something to impact my life. In addition, I can also look around me and grow very grateful and thankful for what's around me. My family, my friends, my current reality, even if it's not pleasant, I can be thankful that everything I've gone through has prepared me for today. Everything that I then consume from that perspective causes gratitude, brings generosity. From generosity comes joy. It comes greater love. It becomes greater happiness, a sense of fulfillment, a sense of satisfaction. And here's the interesting thing, Bonnie. When you're happy, fulfilled, and satisfied, you walk around with a different spirit. And people get around that and they're like, wow, you're kind of a unique human being, because there's not a lot of people like you, happy, fulfilled, and satisfied. That becomes an opportunity for doors to open, opportunities that otherwise would have never presented themselves. In addition, you gain momentum because today, pouring yourself, your energies, your talents, your skills into today because you're living in the present causes you to build momentum because you pour everything in today instead of limiting yourself or contracting from opportunity because of focusing on that negative past or the positive past or the future. Mm. Focusing on being present brings power for today. And the best part of it is, as you live 100% today, the momentum of today carries into tomorrow because tomorrow will be another today.
Mm. Oh, I love that. And it's all abundance. You know, it's not, sometimes people think of just, you know, financial abundance, but really abundance is a lot of things. And you know, I always tell people, if you're still here, like you've not passed on, you've got something to be grateful for.
Yeah, you know? Right.
There's something. So even in the worst times, and to me, and this is just how I look at it, the most important time to practice gratitude is when you're struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. So and, true.
And you exemplify all of those things. So how does someone go from today, from now, which is really the only thing that they can control, to the future that they want?
So I want to kind of put this in a business construct, all right? So getting to where you want to go is going to involve intention. No one's going to hand you opportunities as much as you would think. No one's going to have a magic wand and say, ta-da! However, you can position yourself to be in the right place at the right time with the right motivation if you're intentional. Mm. And let me unpack that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, there's a lot in the world that concerns us. We're looking at, you know, the transition of power in our own American politics. We're looking at, you know, the economy, the, you know, stock market is going bananas. Is this, you know, the beginning of a pop? Is, you know, terrorism going to, you know, impact America? Like all these different things are concerning, you know. In light of all of that is massive opportunity. There is disruption and creativity coming everywhere you look. Mm. The future of work as we know it, the future of technology as we know it, is all transforming at such a rapid pace that it can cause us to feel, you know, concerned. Well, in light of moving us forward and looking at these other external elements that are, you know, in our head, in our eyes, if we're watching the news, in our ears, if we're listening to the news, like those things are all influencing us. So here's some advice I want to give you. One, none of that's going to go away. So you have to settle in that things are changing. And so as such, it's upon you to be a self-learner, to learn this space, to learn your industry and what potential there is for disruption or opportunities for you to excel and get ahead. So reading articles and setting up Google alerts to make sure that your inbox gets some of the latest information coming off of the old internets, like reading books and attending conferences and events, those things are critically important. And here's why. Because in light of the future of work, most people who are probably listening to this are entrepreneurs. And entrepreneurship can be a lonely, lonely island.
Yes.
You know, it's like we're those people that work 60 hours, busting our humps so we don't have to work 40 hours for someone else. We are the people who, if we can't do something, we'll try and figure it out. We're innovative in our own, you know, ways. At the same time, we're also kind of in blinders of staring at our navels and just looking at what I got to do with what I got. Instead, again, removing the blinders and looking at the future. Being a self-learner, you'll observe this. There's going to be more and more people like you. Companies are hiring less and less full-time employees. They're doing more contract labor, allowing them to ebb and flow the size of their workforce, eliminating the duplicity or the redundancy of roles. They're also offsetting a lot of the income and benefits and pensions by working with contractors. And everything that we saw from the sharing economy, from Uber and Lyft and what some people call the gig economy, that was all based on task-oriented type of exercises, things that people didn't necessarily need a college degree to be able to participate in. Now, that same methodology of replacing tasks is also coming into these roles, where roles are being replaced with freelancers. And there was a study that was just done last year by Freelancers Union and Upwork. They combined forces to do a study researching that there would be 47% of the American workforce would be focused on freelance work, whether that be full-time freelance or moonlighting to help subsidize their income by the year 2020.
Wow.
47%. That's a lot of people on the hustle. So as such, there's going to be obviously more demand, more competition. There's going to be even more disruption in how things are going to look. And if the future of work is changing that dynamic and people are freelancing, you're going to see people who have either worked a career for a lengthy time, they've worked at their career, their industry for 25, 30 years, now saying, what do I do? What now? I have all this experience, I have all this expertise, but now I'm no longer desired in my company. Or the secondary part is people who are just coming out of college, have massive amount of college debt, and there's no job waiting for them.
Yeah.
On both of those components lies this concern. And either way, both parties are going to have to focus on how to administer themselves into being proactive and effective in light of how things have changed. It's not that they're temporary. It's not that they're, it's something that's a trend, that's a fad. It's a trend that is just is. Mm-hmm. It's the progression of work. Work has always changed. It's always been a transformative, evolving process from back in the days of 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. People were farmers and tradesmen, and they traded their corn or their wheat so they could get some jade or some sugar. You know, people were trading different components of their labor for other resources they didn't have. And that transformed all the way up into, you know, the 15 to 1800s. We got into shipping. We got into more transport. That element of commodities and commerce grew even more. And then, you know, in the early 1900s, we got into this industrial revolution. And now we're able to make large widgets on mass scale. And now technology here in the last, you know, 30 years has gotten into greater use of robotics and artificial intelligence. Like, none of this is going away.
Right.
So first thing is, settle your mindset. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Number two is, you have to say, I have to learn. Mm-hmm. I have to learn what I need to know to be effective. I just counseled a gentleman who's been working with a tool and die company that he bought from his dad. So this is a second, I don't know, maybe even a third generation company for his family. And all they did was their regional stuff in central Wisconsin. And he's now saying, I have to expand my workshop to think more than just central Wisconsin, A, and B, what are ways that technology is doing what I've done, what my company has done for years? Technology is making it better, faster, and more efficient and cheaper. Mm-hmm. How do I do that? So now his company's gotten into 3D printing, and they're building out, you know, mocks. They're building out, you know, test products so that people have the ability to see, feel, and touch products before they're done on a larger scale. He's now attending conferences in different parts of the country and expanding their customer base. Like, he's having to think differently. How do you have to think differently? A, that self-learning is a big component. But B, the next part of that is expanding your network. Mm. Getting to know people in your industry will help you to find referrals. It will help you to collaborate on other business that might be bigger than you. It might give you an opportunity to rub elbows with people you otherwise wouldn't have communications with, so that you can learn, that you can grow, or that you can find more business. Like, all the elements of networking is not a schmoozy thing. It is a powerful opportunity for you to give of your generosity and contribute your knowledge, your insight, and your experience, and at the same time, glean from all of those around you. The future is a very collaborative world. And for my business that I have, Brain Trust Partners, that I shared with you before, the five of us do strategy for large brands, and we help them to connect with their customers in all of these new and inventive ways. Like I said, digital transformation, communications, transformation of their technology stack, their marketing stack, their teams, their staffing, as well as the other tools that they need. We have about 90 or so people in our network of smaller contractors, of consultancies, of agencies, and of just independent freelancers who we know, like, and trust. They're our friends. And we've worked with them through the years of past. And now, as we work with our clients and we have products or projects, we come up with strategies and then we implement and execute via our friends, our network. And we're creating and leaning into this new opportunity, this new world that we're living in, the new world of business, with lots of collaboration and lots of creative thinking. And here's what is the bottom line. We are a consultancy that can compete with some of the biggest brands in the world because of the experience and because of the knowledge that is possessed in our team. But we don't have all of the bloat. We don't have brick and mortar. We don't have huge teams that have annual salaries. Mm-hmm. We don't have all the premiums of their pensions and their benefits. We are running lean. And as such, we can compete for business in ways that the bigger components, like the Deloittes of the world, we can compete in ways that they can't touch. So now we are being very agile and very lean to echo that in light of a new business context. How can you, in light of your company and your business, your expertise, how can you find new ways of serving your customers well? How can you find new ways of differentiating your product or your service? How can you find new ways of collaborating your skills, talents, and gifts with others who have different talent, skills, and gifts, so that together you also can create a more holistic opportunity for clients you can serve?
Oh, that is so true. You know, collaboration is a word that keeps coming up in this summit, and there's good reason for that. I think competition is sort of a word from the past, really, in terms of business and in the workforce. And so I so like that we spend time today on the importance of that and how, you know, we've talked about lots of things today, lots of awesome things. I wish I could keep you on for like all day, because this is great stuff. But if people could, I know, I realize that people are busy, and if they could only fit one more thing in their brain today, what's the most important thing? And maybe it's something we've talked about already. What's the most important thing that you want to leave our listeners with today from our conversation?
I think you just said it. It's what we mentioned before, today.
Yeah.
The only day actually yours. Mm. What can you do today? Here's the thing. We think that transformation of our lives, whether it be personal, whether it be relational, or whether it be our career, we think it always has to be some big turn of events. Mm-hmm. It's some big aha kind of moment, right? And really, it's the little things.
Yeah.
Like, have you gone for a walk today? Did you get your 10,000 steps in? You know, are you taking care of your body?
Yeah.
Are you taking breaks to create white space for 10, 15 minutes, just closing the laptop, walk away from stuff, and just breathe? Mm-hmm. Are you taking a couple moments before your kids go to bed to tell them that you love them, you believe in them, and that you're proud of them? Are you taking a few minutes with your spouse to just hold them a little bit longer and give them a little bit tighter of a squeeze and tell them that in this moment of crisis or trouble that we're having, that everything's going to be okay? We forget that today are the absolute pivotal opportunity for us to make a difference in the lives around us, and more importantly, our own lives. Mm-hmm. If we'll just be intentional to do little things that serve big purposes. At the end of the day, relationships are everything. Never negate relationships. Even those that you feel maybe you have burned bridges with. It's never impossible. It's never over. There is no telling what can come from any pain or any hurt or any darkness that you may have experienced. In addition, as you become a self-learner and be proactive in becoming an expert in your field, and you just spend an extra 10, 15 minutes reading a couple of articles about where your industry is going, all of a sudden you'll become the encyclopedia that others will come to for future of your industry. You'll become the thought leader. Maybe you spend a couple extra minutes putting some tweets out or some posts on your Facebook page or your fan page that position you as a thought leader. These little components give you a greater quality of life and a greater quality to your business.
Oh, I love that. So true, and such wonderful words of wisdom. And all we have is right now. You know, Angus, I know that people are going to want more of you because I could listen to you all day. So tell us, what's the best way? Of course, I'll put your website on the page with this interview, but tell us, what's the best way to get in touch with you? Some of the other things that you do for people, that you're up to, your services?
Sure. So you can just find me simply at angusnelson.com. And there you'll find all the elements that make up me, everything from my innovation consulting to my coaching, but more specifically, my speaking. And just like you said, you can hear me talk all day.
Yes.
I'm here to talk. That's what I do. And if you have an event coming up and you have a conference and you're looking for a speaker, go to my speaking page, angusnelson.com/speaking. In addition, I would say those two things that we mentioned before, I just want to echo those, is that you stay that self-learner and that you expand your network. And that networking piece is something I assembled an ebook for. And that's something I would love to make available to this audience.
Oh, that's a wonderful, generous gift, because I think you're so right on. Obviously, you know what you're talking about. That's the future. That's the future of everyone's success, because we all have to come together.
Yeah, that collaborative environment. I give some little tidbits and I'll just give you a little tease. One of the elements I say in the ebook is that when you show up at an event, try and show up early. Everybody says you should be fashionably late. No. Nobody wants to be the first person standing there, doing nothing. Well, here's the rub. If you show up first and there is nobody else there, you have the undivided attention of the host.
Yep.
And the first thing I do is I ask this question. Do you need any help? If it's a large event, they're probably going to say, you know what, we got it all covered, but thank you so much for offering. If it's a smaller event, they may say, hey, can you stack these napkins? Can you put this in the restroom? Can you stock these towels? Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Either way, those hosts will take notice of you. And throughout the course of that evening, will go out of their way to introduce you to people that you otherwise wouldn't have met. And just this summer, I pulled this at an event in Chicago, where it was a group of podcasters. I was involved in this association. I saw this event on the calendar. I was going to attend. I got there first. And it was put on by a guy named John Lee Dumas, who, if you listen to podcasts, he's kind of a big deal. And his girlfriend, Kate, had this big box, and they were carrying all this stuff. I'm like, hey, do you need a hand? Can I help? And they're like, oh my gosh, for sure. Yeah. And so I carried this big awkward box that she had. I had stacks of books and stuff that I was moving around. And then I got done and they threw me a couple of t-shirts. They threw me another book and said, hey, thanks so much for your help. And then throughout the evening, I got introduced to Pat Flynn. Mm. I got introduced to Andrew Warner, like all the people in my space, because Kate said, Angus, come here, man. Come here. I want you to meet somebody.
Yeah.
Because I implemented one of the exercises that I'll teach you in this ebook. And you can find that. Well, we can make that available. Yeah. I don't know if you want to do it through the site here or if you want me to just give you a link.
Yeah, I'll put it on the site so that you don't, I mean, you can certainly say what it is, but so that people don't have to write it all down, I'll put the link there as well.
Okay, sure. And it's just called Networking for Effectiveness and Credibility. Bonnie will have a link for you, and you can find that, I'm sure, in all of her notes. And here's the biggest component. This is the best ebook for networking for people who don't like networking. Because it will show you what it's all about. It's not about what you can take from other people, that schmoozy, junky, whatever. It's about what you can give.
Yeah.
It's about value that you bring. And you'll learn that reading this ebook.
Oh, that's a fabulous gift. Thank you so much. And I've enjoyed, as I always do, I've enjoyed our time together today, Angus. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to share all of your insights and wisdom.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Bonnie.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.